There's nothing like the view from the cheap seats.
It's now time for the cheap seats here on K Country 95. Here's your host, Hayden Savage.
Welcome to this week's edition of The Cheap Seats here on K-Country 95, and we've got a lot to talk about here yet again. We'll talk to Mr. Mark James, voice of the IndyCar series. He's been on with us for a while now. We'll talk to him again, and he's fixing to head down to St. Petersburg, Florida for the opening race down there at the IndyCar series. We're going to talk just a little bit, not a little bit, we'll talk a lot about the SEC tournament going on next week, the Razorbacks and Mizzou both being in that tournament. That's going to be a tough wrap for both of these teams if they want a chance to make it to the big dance. So we'll talk about all that. That's all coming up in the Cheap Seats right here on K-Country 95, presented by the Ecom Sports Network. Back here on the Cheap Seats here on K-Country 95, and joining me on the line for our weekly talk is the voice of the IndyCar series, Mr. Mark James. Mark, it's good to have you on with us again.
Always a pleasure. How are things in God's country?
Oh, it's good. We've got two local teams, two Thayer teams. They're headed to, today actually, they're going to be playing in state basketball playoffs. I can't remember what round it is, but they're only three or two wins away from advancing on.
Oh, that's awesome. We wish you well for sure.
Well, thanks. All right, well, let's go ahead and get this thing started off. When you're traveling, and I know you're fixing to take off, is it next? It's this coming week you're going to be able to go to St. Petersburg, Florida. Do you have very much free time whenever you're, like, fixing to be on the call, maybe like the day before or the morning of?
Yeah, typically we do. I mean, this coming Thursday when we leave on the 12th, we get in pretty early and have a couple of events connected to the race at St. Petersburg, luncheons and things of that nature we'll attend. And then I think there's a kind of a kickoff celebration that evening we've been invited to. But my mother lives down there full-time just northeast of Tampa, and at least one evening I'll go spend some time with her and her husband, and then you know, that's not far from Treasure Island and the Atlantic coast, and that's one of my favorite areas. I mean, my parents first took me there in the late 1960s, so it almost feels like my home away from home. But yeah, you know, we get the opportunity because our days typically wrap up around 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, no matter where we are, unless of course it's a night race, and we have plenty of time to see a lot of the sights, and we've seen some fascinating things in our 20 plus years doing this for sure.
All right, Pennzoil is now, we've just started hearing this. Pennzoil is the IndyCar radio network that's now the Pennzoil IndyCar radio network. Pennzoil's had a long and, I mean, a huge story in motorsports.
Yeah, especially with the IndyCar series. I mean, the Yellow Submarine, as it was dubbed, you know, but Pennzoil's been on cars that have won the Indianapolis 500, cars driven by Rick Mears and Johnny Rutherford, who combined for 7 wins at the Indianapolis 500. Different drivers have run different schemes and different Pennzoil sponsorships all over the years and in all forms of motorsports. And I think what it does is it gives us an indication of the influence that Roger Penske will have on every aspect of the NTT IndyCar Series and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, now being the owner of it, because he has long been associated with Pennzoil, and we're honored to be carrying that product along with our brand with the IndyCar Series for sure.
Well, that's awesome. When you get to where you're going on race day, what does it usually consist of? I know you told us, like, the day before you have some luncheons and, like, just some things getting ready up to the race. What do you do whenever you get there at the racetrack? What do you do that day whenever you get there?
Well, usually we'll start the day off with some breakfast at the TV compound, and we share a television compound with our folks from NBC, and they take pretty good care of us in terms of the hospitality on the road. And then, you know, we'll double-check our schedules. We have Indy Lights, which is our support series. It's kind of like the Xfinity series for those of you that are NASCAR fans. And Nick Yeoman anchors those events. I typically am not much involved with practice or qualifying there. So while those shows are going on, I'm walking through the garage area or the paddock, as it's referred to in IndyCar, and talking to drivers and crew chiefs and maybe some media members, and try to pick up some information about things that might be happening, events that might be unfolding. And then you know, typically we'll have two shows during the course of the day that we'll broadcast on our various entities, and that pretty much covers a practice day. And then, of course, on the second day, we typically will qualify, and we have a knockout qualifying format, which you start with, you know, if there are 24 cars, it's two groups of 12, and the top six from each one go into a group of 12, and then the top six from that will go into the Firestone Fast Six, as it's called, to set the field for a particular race. And then, you know, we get ready for race day, and then we broadcast both Indy Lights races and IndyCar races. And depending on what time the race starts, once it's over, we'll have some post-race responsibilities, some shows to record for some of our affiliates so they can use those on Monday as a race recap. And then we'll head off to the airport, or else we'll go someplace and have a nice dinner and then get up the next morning and head back home. And when we get into the summertime and we've got back-to-back weekends, we simply go home, unpack the suitcase, wash the clothes, repack it, and then head back out on the road. So that's kind of our routine for the season.
So definitely a busy schedule for sure.
Yep, it is, and it's a labor of love. There's no question about it. As you and I have talked about, this will be my 25th, and I'm not quite tired of it yet. And I don't think that day's going to come anytime soon. At least I hope not anyway.
Right. All right. Well, I know the nerves are leading up to game day, or I mean, that's what we would call it, game day, race day,
sure,
same
absolutely.
Thing. So is there any change on who's predicted to win? I know there's always just shuffle back and forth between who's going to be able to win this one. This one's a benefit to this one. Is there any rumors flying around? What's going on in the racing world?
Not much in terms of rumors. I mean, everyone's pretty well set, even for the Indianapolis 500. But Hayden, I think you understand it as much as you've covered the more traditional stick and ball sports. I mean, coaches work all during the preseason and get their teams ready. And the last thing they want to do is come out of the gate and fall on their face. And I don't care if it's baseball, football, basketball, softball, and certainly motorsports. I mean, it's really important to get off to a good start. Now, it is a long season for sure, and you've seen it, I'm sure, Hayden, where teams have started 0-1, maybe 0-2, and then come back and won a conference title or, you know, went deep into your postseason tournaments. But that's not an ideal scenario. So I think all of the teams are pretty anxious to get the season started. Those that did not have particularly strong finishes feel like that they've had good off seasons, so they want to get off to a good start. Some drivers have found new homes. They want to impress their new bosses most assuredly. But I think the guy that's probably most excited about the season getting underway is our defending series champion, Joseph Newgarden, because it's been a while since we've had anyone go back-to-back for a championship. Joseph won this race a year ago at St. Pete, and I think he'd like to put the rest of the field on notice that they're going to have to come get him throughout the 2020 campaign.
Now, let me ask you, I know we didn't talk about this in our pre-show meeting, but who do you think needs to be the most impressive driver out there this coming week or the next race? Who do you think needs to show that they can race and they have the option to do it when they want to?
Well, I think there are two. I think Marco Andretti, just two wins in his career, and Marco's been at it a while now. And he says he's rededicated himself in the offseason to making himself a better driver and honing his craft. And, you know, he's got that name, and he wants to, I think, start being more competitive. He had a handful of top tens last year. He just couldn't put two sessions together. He practiced well and then struggled in qualifying. He'd do well in qualifying and then struggle in the race, and I think he really wants to put it all together. Graham Rahal is another one, second-generation driver is Graham Rahal. He competed for a couple of series championships over the three-year period, and then last year had just some bad luck and things didn't go well for him. He bemoaned the fact that he was a single-car team for a while. They added Takuma Sato, and Sato's been to victory lane twice since Graham Rahal last won. His first win in IndyCar was at St. Petersburg when he was just a teenager, and so I'm sure he feels confident in his ability to get his season off to a good start. And it would be, I think, big for the series, Hayden, from a name recognition standpoint. I think it'd be really cool to see Marco Andretti and Graham Rahal in the top five week in and week out, because I think that there's name recognition that helps the series overall when those two drivers in particular do well.
For sure. All right, now, do we have any breaking news while we're still talking here? Is anything going on down there?
No, not really. I mean, I think we're pretty well set. I think, you know, we've got 34 entries already for the Indianapolis 500. You know, but it's like professional sports. Something happens at some point that makes you say, wow. Sometimes we have to sit back and wait for that to happen. But, no, I mean, at this point, I think everybody's pretty well stand pat in terms of cars and drivers. They're ready to get to St. Pete, unload, and see who's fast and who's last. And it'll be interesting and fascinating. And I think, as they say, the 2020 season is going to be a Pier 6 brawl, because the 20-plus drivers that are going to roll off the grid each and every week, I think you can go 15, 16, 17 deep in the field, and anyone will have a chance to win on any given weekend.
Right. All right. Well, I know we talk a lot about the main two racers and the main two dynasties, but other than those two, who do you think maybe has the biggest rivalry in the IndyCar series?
Well, I think they're all rivalries for sure. I mean, it's a healthy rivalry, though. I think there is I won't say consternation. I won't say that he has a lot of friends up in the paddock and away from the racetrack. Talking about Alexander Rossi, a former Indy 500 champion, he won the 100th, in fact, in his rookie campaign. But you know, Alexander Rossi has a tendency sometimes to rub some people the wrong way. I think Rossi is a guy that a rivalry could develop with. Bourdais has had rivalries with people in the past, but I'm not sure he's in a position now, being a part-time driver, where he can develop a rivalry. I think Santino Ferrucci, who drives for Dale Coyne, a young man from New England, from Connecticut, he's a likable kid, but I think he's just cocky enough to where he could rub some people the wrong way. So there's certainly some opportunities there, and we've got, you know, young guns like Oliver Askew and Pato O'Ward and guys like that who can certainly raise the ire of some of the veteran drivers. So there is the potential there for some rivalries to develop that we may not be aware of right here, right now.
All right, well, we talked just a little around the Super Bowl. I think it was Saturday before the Super Bowl that whenever you start seeing the ads for the Super Bowl and it's going on and everything, you know it's about time to go racing. How are the nerves?
Well, you know, it's anticipation. The only time I really get nerves throughout the course of the season, quite frankly, is before the Indianapolis 500. So it's more I'm just anxious, I'm ready for it, and I'm excited for it to get started. I mean, it's one of the greatest jobs in the world, and I'm blessed to have had it for 20-some-odd years. And the passion and enthusiasm is still there. And let's be honest, Aiden, the fact that we started in St. Petersburg, Florida, helps.
For sure, that's awesome.
My anticipation for it, especially after the long, cold winter we've had here in the state of Indiana. But no, I mean, it's a labor of love for sure. As I've said, I've been truly blessed in my career, and I would say there'll be nerves on plenty once we get to race day at Indy in late May. But for now, we'll settle on calling it very, very excited, and we look forward to it with much anticipation and enthusiasm for sure.
Well, Mark, we certainly do appreciate your time and you calling in and talking to us all the time here on the Savage Saturday and the Cheap Seats right here on K Country 95. And coming to you next week, you will be on the track talking to us, kind of like a live report.
Yeah, we're going to get you ready, Hayden, because in about 5 or 6 years when I'm ready to retire, you can come take my job. How's that?
That would work for me.
All right, young man. Will you tell Mrs. Estes I love her and I said hello? She's my favorite cousin. She knows that.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Back here on the Cheap Seats here on K Country 95, and we're going to talk just a little bit here about college basketball. And Razorbacks have a chance to make the NCAA tournament here with Musselman's first year as the Razorbacks head coach. And Mizzou is going to, I don't know if Mizzou will make it, honestly. I mean, right now, by looking at the website I'm looking at, it's teamrankings.com/NCAA basketball. Their percentage to make the tournament is 1%. And their most likely seed would be a 12 seed. So I don't know if Mizzou will make it here, but Razorbacks have maybe just a little bit better chance. And I'm a little bit homer to the Razorbacks, but still, I mean, Razorbacks probably have a good chance of not making the tournament here. Razorbacks beat LSU at Bud Walton Arena on Wednesday night, and that's going to be an impressive win to put on their resume. They've got the win at Indiana. They held Florida close. They have a lot of these wins. I was telling somebody the other day, they have a lot of these wins, yes, that are not impressive wins, but they're good wins. And they have some of these losses that are close losses that might be considered a close loss. And honestly, whenever you get down to it, and I'm not saying the NCAA is just out for money here, but if you can get a close game, get more viewers to tune in, Razorbacks are not going to be blown out. The only blowout they've had this year is that bad loss to Tennessee at Tennessee at Rocky Top. So honestly, I would think that the tournament, I know it's all decided. I know there's a selection show, there's a selection committee and all that. But I think you have to put into thought that the Razorbacks, they're not going to be blown out. Like I just mentioned, that Tennessee, that was their only really bad loss that they lost. And I mean, you go up to Indiana and, I mean, you kind of prove yourself there in the beginning of the year what kind of team you're going to be. And then you went just five or six games without Isaiah Joe, the best three-point shooter, one of the best three-point shooters on that team. At the end of it, I think you almost have to let Arkansas in. I know they're 19-11 right now, 7-10 in the SEC. But with that win over LSU, the win at Indiana, and wins like that, I mean, I'm just going down through here, the Razorbacks website, just looking at some of their wins that may be more impressive than the other ones. You've got the win at Georgia Tech, 62-61 in overtime. And that, yes, it was a buzzer beater, but it was Georgia Tech at Georgia Tech. I know they're not impressive this year, but it's hard to beat a team like that at home. I know they have the loss to Western Kentucky. That one also went into overtime. And that was a tough loss for the Razorbacks. But that might be another one you put on the record. And then at Indiana, the big win, 71-64. You beat A&M at Bud Walton Arena. I know A&M, that, I shouldn't have said that. That one, not even a good win, honestly. It is an SEC win, though. And then also went down to LSU, lost by two. That was not a good loss for the Razorbacks. LSU is really good right now. They're going to finish well in the SEC tournament. They may be looking at a deep run in the NCAA tournament. LSU might. And then you've got the win at Ole Miss. Not bad. And then Kentucky, I mean, they held them pretty close there. Mississippi State, you lost at Mississippi State, and then they came back at Bud Walton. You lost at a tip-in. And then number 10, Auburn, you had the chance to beat them at Bud Walton Arena. Had them down 10. I'm still not over this game, honestly. If you're a Razorback fan, you probably shouldn't be either. Down 10, or you were up 10 at home, and then it goes into overtime. You let down a 10 or a 12-point lead. I can't remember what it was. You had your chance to just put your foot on the gas, and you've got you a big SEC win there and a big win for sure. And, I mean, my goodness. And the Razorbacks have been the cardiac hogs this year, going into overtime four times, and then especially that one at Missouri that was a big, big, bad loss for the Razorbacks. Then you went into Tennessee, 82-61. And then you played Florida close, and then you beat Missouri again, beat Tennessee at home again. The loss at Georgia is going to be a hard one. And then now you look at the SEC tournament, and I'm going to pull up here some SEC tournament projections real quick. Currently, the way Arkansas is sitting at the tournament, right now, Arkansas is the 10 seed, 19-11 record, 7-10 in the SEC. But you've got to win against A&M tonight. You have to. I mean, there's no question. If you want to stay out of that first round on Wednesday, you've got to play and play good against Texas A&M. Not play good. You have to beat Texas A&M. So if the tournament started today, we've still got one more game tonight here for everybody. Kentucky at 14-3 in the SEC would be the number one seed. Number two, Florida, with an 11-6 record in the SEC. Number three, Auburn, 11-6 again. Number four, LSU, with 11-6. Number five, South Carolina, 10-7. Number six, Mississippi State, 10-7. Number seven, Texas A&M, which, yes, it's 9-8. They're above the Razorbacks. I said that probably was not a good loss. A&M's not bad. 9-8 in the SEC. They're number seven. Arkansas is a number 10 here. Number eight, Tennessee at 9-8. Alabama at 8-9. Razorbacks at 7-10. Mizzou at 6-11. Ole Miss at 6-11. Georgia at 5-12. And Vanderbilt at 2-15. Razorbacks, right now, if it were to go down, they would play the number seven seed, which, what is the chance of that? Number seven, A&M. Which, if they get a loss here, Tennessee picks up a win on Saturday or today, and if A&M loses to the Razorbacks, you might be playing Tennessee there. And, I mean, that honestly would not be a bad team to beat. So if Razorbacks were to start today in the SEC tournament, they would take on number 7 seed Texas A&M, number 10 seed Arkansas at 6 p.m. But that is, of course, not decided. We've got to wait until these games are over tonight to see how the rest of that is going to fall down. And there are a lot of SEC tiebreakers here that we were just talking about. We've got 20-10 LSU. They're alone with that one. But just talking about some of these tiebreakers. Oh yeah, I was right. 11-6 Florida, 11-6 Auburn, and 11-6 LSU. And then you've got 10-7, 10-7 South Carolina and Mississippi State in a tiebreaker. And then you've got two teams, Texas A&M and Tennessee, at 9-8. And then you've got Mizzou and Ole Miss at 6-11. And so there's a lot of tiebreakers to go down here for the SEC tournament. Win and loss record of head-to-head competition between the two or three teams. The other one would be the win and loss record of the two teams versus the number one seed, which right now is Kentucky. And if they need to go further, it would be losses to the number 14 seed if necessary. And then the third one, the coin flip by the SEC commissioner. So that is going to be... well, no, there's rules for the three-team tie. The best winning percentage of games played among the tied teams, like if Team A is 3-1, Team B is 2-2, and Team C is 1-3, Team A would be would be seated higher. The best winning percentage of the teams tied versus the number one seed, and then if the two teams remain winning, the coin flip by the commissioner, and then if three or more teams remain, it's drawn by the commissioner. So it may be all relying on a coin flip here. Game, they are going to have to lock down and win some games here in the SEC tournament. And Mizzou, honestly, I mean, if they don't make the championship game, they're going to have to win the tournament at least to be able to get consideration. Not consideration. If they win the SEC tournament, they'll for sure be in the tournament. But if, you know, if Mizzou wins the tournament, like I just mentioned, they will be in the NCAA tournament. But if they reach that championship game, that'll also be another thing that you've got to think about whenever it comes to selection time next Sunday. But enough about worrying about the Razorbacks and Mizzou if they're going to make the tournament. We have two local teams that are going to have a good shot at making it back to the championship games here. So starting it off, Thayer, Missouri. How about that? Thayer Lady Bobcats have had a great season. 17-8 on the season, going on against Oran at 1 p.m. Of course, you can hear that game on K-Country 95, the Class 2 State Quarterfinals, the first round here. Go Bobcats for sure. 68% winning percentage here for the Thayer Lady Bobcats. Finished out with a 5-3 home record, 5-2 away record, and their neutral slash tourney record was 7-3. Now on the side of Oran, they've had a great season. 24-5, finished at home 8-0, undefeated on their home floor. Their away record 5-3, and that neutral tourney record was 11-2. Now Thayer Bobcats are points per game 45.1. Oran is 60.1, but Thayer's points allowed per game is 38 and Oran 35.4. Thayer has got a really good shot to return back to the championship game, and that's just going to be really interesting to see. Thayer has overcame a lot of adversity this year, it feels like. They've had a lot of fight in them, and now look where they're at. And I want to congratulate the Mammoth Spring Bears and Lady Bears on their season this year. They went down to Lake Hamilton and went 0-2. They did, but they had a great season, and congratulations to Coach Godwin and congratulations to Coach Small Bears and Lady Bears head coaches. They've had a great season, done a tremendous job, and I mean, coming back next year, it's going to be an impressive year. Only losing two seniors each on those squads for Mammoth Spring. Now on the Thayer boys side of thing, they'll play at 2:45 today, and their season record for the Thayer Bobcats 22-5, finished undefeated on their home floor 5-0. Their away record 5-3, winning percentage 81.5. Their neutral slash tourney record 12-2. Points allowed a game 55.7, and points allowed per game 43.2. Now on the Oran side of things, 83.3%, finished with a 25-5 record on the year. Home record 10-0, away record 6-3. Their neutral tourney record 9-2. And congratulations to Iran. They look like they've had a great season. 10-0 on their home floor. Points per game 68.7 and allowing 50.1 per game. So good luck to the Thayer Bobcats and the Lady Cats as they continue on here in the postseason. And you can catch all their games now right here on K Country 95. That's going to be some really interesting games coming up here today at 1 o'clock and at 2:45. Mike Crace will have the call for those from Sykeston High School. It's going to be really interesting to see how far Thayer can run into this tournament. And that Thayer Lady Bobcat defense is going to have to step up versus Iran, but I don't think they'll have any problem with doing that. They know what they're fighting for now, so we'll just have to see when that goes. Whenever we come back, we'll wrap up this episode of The Cheap Seats right here on K Country 95. Welcome back here to this episode of The Cheap Seats, where this is going to do it for this edition of The Cheap Seats. If you're just joining us and want to listen to us live, you can always go back and listen to our podcast at ecomnewsnetwork.com. Just click on the Cheap Seats picture down there in the sports section of the thing, and you can go back and listen to all of our archives. And then, of course, you can listen to us live from around 8:20 till 9 o'clock. And we will talk about Ozarks high school basketball, college football, college baseball, NFL, NBA, and the MLB. So if you're just joining us and you missed out, be sure you listen every Saturday night or 8:20 until 9 o'clock, And that is going to do it for this edition of The Cheap Seats. Good luck to the Thayer Lady Bobcats and the Thayer Bobcats continuing today in state sectionals. Play at 1 o'clock and at 2:45. Mike Crace will have the calls of those right here on K Country 95. Going to be a really interesting game for Thayer, and we'll just see if Thayer can continue on like they have been. And I don't think they'll have any problem with that one, but stay tuned for those games coming up here in just a few hours right here on K Country 95. Coming up at the top of the hour from the Ecom News Network, ECNN, ABC with some national headlines, and then that official Weather Channel forecast. And then right after that, the American Roots Outdoor Show with Mike Crace and Alex Rutledge right here on K Country 95, and then right back to the Savage Saturday. I'm Hayden Savage for the Cheap Seats. Go to ecomnewsnetwork.com to find our podcast. And as always, right here on the Savage Saturday from 8:20 until 9 o'clock.